All right, let's go to Matthew chapter number 16, and we're going to, let's start at verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom do ye say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And of course, this is where I want to say, go right here. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2, and beginning at verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Then I want to flip towards the end of that chapter. We know what happened there. They that gladly received his word, verse 41, were baptized. The same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Amen. And I just want to stop right there. Now, I'm going to preach. I'm going to give it a title. And I pray and hope that you don't judge me by this title. I'm going to clarify it. And but I simply want to preach to you tonight. This is my church. This is my church, and I'm not talking about me personally. I want you to feel that away. I want you to have that saying, this is my church. I want you to make it personal. Now, with the clarification, I know that this is God's church. This is God's church. This is God's plan. This is God's way. But we, the people of God, have bought into this. We've got an investment into it, and it is our church. Amen. On a personal basis. It is our church. We are dispensable. We are dispensable. Amen. God can push us out. God can push us aside. God doesn't want to do that. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so with that clarification, so that you know, I want to preach this as my church. And I want you to put that title for yourself. I want you to be able to say, this is my church. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you today, and we thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for your Spirit, for your grace, and for your mercy. I pray, sweet presence and Spirit of God, that you would come down in a mighty way, and that you would touch us, and that you would talk to us and deal with us, and that the holy anointing of your Spirit would be about us and upon us today. God, bring clarification, revelation, understanding. Lord, speak to us and minister to us all, O God, and we'll give you praise and glory. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. And God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Praise God. We understand and know that this is the fulfillment of the beginning, the plan from the beginning. And we know that in the beginning, man really was not given a specific amount of time to live. We see that there were men that lived 600, 700, 800, 900, almost 1,000 years. And then after a point in time, man was appointed 70 years. He was given 70 years. And some made it to that. Some did not make it to that. And we probably averaged out somewhere around 70. And so with that said, we see that when the fullness of time was come, Galatians chapter number 4, that God robed himself in flesh, came through the womb of a woman, became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we see that. And he was fulfilling the plan. Number one, he became the high priest. Number two, he became the sacrifice. He was the priest and the sacrifice at the same time. And so this was his plan. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so he came to fulfill that plan, to create redemptive blood for mankind so that they could go free. And so understanding and knowing that, being flesh, being of humanity, he is, I understand and know that he is God, but as man, we can put it upon it that he was prohibited by the 70 years that was given. He was going to follow the law that he had orchestrated in his law. But he did not need 70 years because the plan was greater than that. And so we see that the disciples, the 12 disciples, that their hope was in Jesus Christ, the man, understanding that he was the Christ. He was the Messiah, for this is what he asked them. He said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some say that thou art Elias, or maybe one of the other prophets." And Jesus answered them, and he said, "But who do you say that I am?" They had a revelation. This was more than just a John the Baptist that they were walking with and going with. This was more than an Elias that had come back to do greater works or whatever. Peter had a revelation. I believe that all of them had a revelation. And Peter just spoke it up. And he looked at him and he said, "Thou art the Christ. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And he's not the first one to get this revelation. As a matter of fact, if we were going over into the book of Mark chapter number 1, and I ask for your forgiveness here. I know that it is in Mark chapter number 1, but you understand that I started using this new Bible as soon as I took the pastorate here, and so it's not marked up the way that I like it to be marked up, and so I cannot tell you exactly what verse it is, but we see that here in Mark chapter number 1, we see that an unclean spirit came unto Jesus, and Jesus confronted this unclean spirit. And this unclean spirit said, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know that thou art the Holy One of God." And so they had a revelation. They knew that this was more than just a man. This was more than just some type of prophet. They had a revelation that he was the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him in verse number 25, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out from him." Amen. And so the Lord told him to hold his peace because it was not meant for them to know, for others to know at that appointed time who that he was. And so here when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus, the Bible said that he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. Amen. Amen. But he gave them a glimpse into something that was on the verge of transpiring. And this glimpse was something that he called the church. And for he told Peter and the rest of the disciples there, he said, "I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Amen. This was the ecclesia. This was the called out to congregate, the called out to come together. This is the, amen, this is the fulfillment. Amen. You and I are this fulfillment. We are the called out of this world to come together, amen, as the body of Christ. This was his
plan from the beginning, and his plan included you. For the Bible said that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for the ungodly. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. He didn't die just for the few hundreds of thousands of millions that may have been living upon the face of the earth at that particular time, but he died for the sins of all of mankind. Amen. And he didn't need 70 years to do it. He took just about 30, 33 years somewhere in that vicinity. Amen. And when he hung upon the cross, understanding that the work of atonement was done, he said, "It is finished." Amen. He hung his head and gave up the ghost. We can see that the hope of the disciples, amen, had become very despairingly, or disparagingly. We know that their zeal faltered and failed. And they were not as energetic as they used to be. Amen. We could even see that at one point in time, Peter, so energetic about, amen, this work, that he took out his sword and cut off the ear of one of the servants that had come to get. They were zealous about the good works that was going on there. Amen. Jesus had even told them to take their script and their purse, amen, to go out of my tombs and to go minister and to go perform miracles. And they came back and they were exceedingly excited about what was going on. And we know that they told others among themselves the things that was happening. They were very excited about what was happening. Amen. They were the foundation. They were the representation. They were the picture of what the Lord wanted the church to become. It was the initial photocopy of what God was, like your coloring book, the color, amen, that he was putting upon it. They were excited about what was happening. But when Christ died, all of the excitement died with it. When Christ was buried, their excitement and zeal was buried. When Christ was buried, their hope and their faith was buried. And we find disciples moping around, going back to the things that they came out of, refusing to go, amen, even when Jesus had been proclaimed to be alive. Amen. Doubt was so prevalent upon them that faith could not operate within them. And Thomas said, "Except that I see and except that I feel, I shall not ever believe it." Amen. I believe that he was expressing, amen, the very thoughts of many that were around, not just the disciples. Amen. Because it was more than the disciples' hope and zeal and excitement that had died. There was a known world that had been excited about Jesus. Yes, there were people that hated him and despised him, but nevertheless, there were hundreds and thousands that had been healed by him. Amen. There were tons that had spirits cast out of them. Amen. There were people that had been raised up from the dead. People that had been healed. Lame that had been made to walk. Blind that had been caused to see. And the list goes on and on. And John said that if the book should contain all the miracles, then the libraries would not be able to contain all of those books. We're talking about tons. Amen. Hundreds and thousands of people that had been affected by Jesus Christ. You know why there were so many that had been affected by Jesus? It's because when one got affected, he went down there and he grabbed somebody and he said, "You gotta come see. You gotta come see." Amen. And then we get affected, and then we went out and we said, "Hey,
you gotta get in. You gotta get excited about this. I got this one." You get that one.
And then we all get excited. And we bring them to Jesus. And when all of this happens, we all get excited. And we go get somebody else. And we bring them to Jesus. And we go get somebody. Hey, you see what's happening? There's excitement that's building around here. Amen. And I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was looking down upon it and saying, "That's exactly the way that I pictured. I'm going to throw them a curveball here a little bit. But it's all going to come back together again." faith. Their hope and their zeal died, and they went back. They went back to where they came from. Amen. But when the word got around, and Jesus began to show himself with many infallible proofs, they got all excited again. And Jesus met with them, and he told them, he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to tarry in the upper room. I want you to wait for the promise of the Father. They didn't know what the promise was. They just knew what the commandment was. Amen. And so they gathered themselves together, and 120, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, went up into that upper room, and they began to pray and began to tarry and began to wait for, amen. You know why the church isn't experiencing revival like it needs to be experiencing? Because we don't have any patience, because we're not willing to tarry. Amen. We got a mentality of give it to me now, and if it don't happen now, then I'll throw my hope away. I'll throw my faith away. Day one, the promise hadn't come, but somebody was tarrying. We need some people that know how to tarry, that know how to pray. Amen. That your faith is not wavering when something bad happens or when something good doesn't happen. Just give me some good, solid, rock fast people that's willing to pray the prayer of faith. Amen. Through the time that needs to. Hey, I'm telling you, church, keep on praying. Keep on praying. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It shall happen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. Hallelujah. That's where the church was born. That's what happened in the church. Amen. That's where the church came from. Down from that upper room in a red hot Pentecostal prayer meeting, when they had been praying for 7 days, praying for the promise to come fall upon them. And when somebody had prayed the prayer, amen, and touched the throne of heaven, all it took was the preacher to preach about 7 minutes. You want the preacher to stop being long-winded? Get long-winded in prayer, and the preacher will get short-winded in preaching.
At least we hope. Hallelujah. Amen. And they came down out of that upper room, and they began to look around and said, these men are drunk. He said, they're not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. And he began to preach to them, and they got pricked in the heart, and they said, men and brethren, what must we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. When you get the Holy Ghost, you can't sit back on your hands and just la-la for Jesus. It's a fight. You got to save yourself from this generation. This generation doesn't want you to have the Holy Ghost. This generation doesn't want you to live for God. This generation is going to do whatever it has to do to try to destroy you. But you got to stand up and fight the good fight of faith. You got to save yourself from this generation.
Praise God.
Amen. And the Bible said that they continued. Said that this is the key. This is the key. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We're going to keep preaching doctrine around here. We're going to keep preaching the oneness of God. We're going to keep preaching baptism in Jesus' name. We're going to keep preaching repentance. We're going to keep preaching infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. We're going to keep preaching faithfulness to the house of God. We're going to keep preaching holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. We're going to keep preaching about the rapture that is soon to come, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Hallelujah. And I don't have notes. It gets dangerous. And fellowship, 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 fellowship. We're going to do a lot of fellowshipping. I said we're going to do a lot of fellowshipping. Amen. And you need to be a part of that fellowship. That's the strength of the body. When you separate yourself from the body, amen, you're going to struggle and have a hard time. Just like if you took a hatchet and cut your finger off, it's not going to live. It's got to be in fellowship with the body. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I pastored a church that they couldn't do any fellowshipping. Amen. They hated one another. Had five holes in the sanctuary walls due to fist fights when we first got there. We couldn't play volleyball. We couldn't do anything. They was at each other's throats. They killed one another. They hated each other. Amen. I met that man going down the road and I asked him, I said, Brother Henry, I said, what's the problem? He said, they hate each other. That's the problem. I said, yeah, that is the problem. But we kept working at it and kept working at it because you don't fix things like that overnight. But it doesn't justify anything. Amen. If you're going to be a Christian, get over some things. Forget some things. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the mark, the high calling of Christ. Amen. And it took a little while, but all of a sudden, we were able to play some volleyball at the park. But after about an hour and a half to 2 hours, we saw temper starting to rise, and we said, hey, I think it's a good time to go home. And we just congregated, hey, man, slapped each other on the back, shook everybody's hand, took the volleyball net down, and went home. And let the tempers and the, amen, the attitudes kind of sizzle out. And then we tried it again a few weeks later. And before we left there, amen, we could play volleyball for an unlimited amount of time. Amen, you've got to have fellowship. You've got to, I'm not saying it's all in volleyball, amen, but you've got to have fellowship. Because the same people that says, well, I don't like volleyball, amen, they don't like basketball, they don't like all this other stuff, and you come to find out they just don't want to be around anybody. But they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. I don't have time to go through all this. I got somewhere I'm trying to go today. Amen. But they fellowshiped with one another. They broke bread with one another. And they prayed, amen, constantly. Somebody was praying. And these things are necessary in order for it to be. But we see that through this, we could go through Acts chapter number 3, and we could go through Acts chapter number 4, and Acts chapter 5, 6, 7, and we could see marvelous things that began to transpire. Why? Because somebody got excited about their church. I promise you, Peter wasn't the one that was inviting the multitudes. Peter wasn't the one, amen, that was out there getting the multitudes to come, amen, to hear him preach. But it was one of those deals where I got this one. Amen. Look, you come here. We got this. And then we go get some other people. Yeah. I'm telling you what, you got to come to my church. Amen. Hey, you got to come to my church. Amen. Everybody gets excited. He'll get excited here in a little bit. Amen. But everybody's excited about getting somebody to come. Why? Because when I go to church, something's happening. I can't tell you everything that's going to happen, but I can tell you something should happen. Something is going to happen. Amen. You say, well, why would you say it should happen? It'll happen if we all get in one mind, in one accord, in one place. If we all get in tune with the Lord, if we all treat this as my church. Amen. What do you want your church to be like? What do you want your church to be like? There's a lot of people say, well, I want my church to be a red-hot apostolic church. Well, honey, you're going to have to start acting like it. Don't tell me that you want a praying church and then you won't come to prayer. Don't tell me, oh, I know, man, if we just get to praying, I'm telling you it's going to happen and happen. And then we start having prayer meeting and you don't show up. Pre-service prayer comes along and you don't come along. That means you really don't believe what you're saying. Or you're extremely selfish. and let somebody else do it. So I got a question for you. If everybody in this church was just like you, what kind of church would it be? Would it be an excited church? Would it be a zealous church? Would it be a praying church? Would it be a fasting church? Would it be a worshiping church? Would it be a powerful church? Would it be a happy church? Would it be a joyful church? Amen. Would it be a singing church? Amen. That's all the positives. Or would it be a setting church? Would it be a stargazing church? An observation church? What kind of church would it be if everybody was just like you? Now you answer the question, what kind of church do you want this to be? Amen. And when you figure out what kind of church you want this to be, then you start being just like that. And you see what kind of dimension that you'll add to the church. Don't tell me that this church is boring if you don't ever participate in anything. Don't critique and find fault with everybody else. Amen. When you're not willing to point the finger back at yourself. Amen. When you're not praying and you're not worshiping and you're not doing anything. We need to make a look at us, take a good look at us, amen, and take a personal evaluation and say, this is my church. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. If there's a piece of paper laying out in the yard somewhere, amen, if it's your church, you got a trashy church or a clean church, amen, somebody would say, you know what, that's somebody else's job, it ain't my job. But when it's your church, you'll stop, you go back over there, you get that piece of paper, you'll pick it up because it's your church. It's a reflection upon you, and you'll throw it in the trash. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're not going to be critical about what's not happening, amen, because you're in here making it happen. Hallelujah. When you get a red hot apostolic prayer meeting going on, somebody's going to catch on fire. And then when two catch on fire, four can catch on fire. And then eight can catch on fire. Or we can all sit back and say, well, I wish somebody would pray around here, amen, but when it's my church and I want to pray in church, then I'm going to find a place to pray, and I'm going to seek heaven. So, hey, I believe God wants to sow some miracles in this place. I believe God wants to heal people. I believe God wants a strong church. And so I am going to position myself in a place that God can do anything that he desires to do. Oh, let's give the Lord praise today. Praise God. Amen. If everybody's offering was the size of your offering, could this church survive? Probably not. And I'm not saying that you give a bad offering. I'm just saying it takes all of us. If everybody's tithing was like your as faithful as your tithing, would this church be a blessed church? It's everything. It's everything. You got it. This isn't buffet church. You don't get to pick and choose what you want. Well, I think I'll take a little bit of this, and I'll take a little bit of worship, and I'll take Sunday night. I don't care for Wednesday night, dead, dull, boring Bible study. I don't care for that. I'll take an extra helping of Sunday night service or something like that, you know. You know what? Load me up some Sunday school. Yeah. We're going to get excited about Sunday school. As a matter of fact, we're going to get excited about everything. We're going to get excited about visitors. We're going to get excited about guests. We're going to get excited about the world, the lost that's out there. We're going to reach the lost. We're going to get excited about Bible studies. We're going to get excited about fellowshipping. We're going to get excited about partying. We're going to get excited about having church. And I'm telling you today, it may get crazy, it may get wild, but I believe that God is going to do some things around this place. I feel it building in my spirit. Amen. I've been feeling it building in my spirit for a long time. Amen. I just couldn't wait to get moved here. Now I got a U-Haul truck packed to the hilt. I'm ready to unpack it and get my house set up. I'm ready to get to work. Amen. Praise God. I'm ready to put some things in order. It is, amen. It's not because Brother Worth didn't put anything in order. Brother Worth handed me a gold mine. Amen. And I want to take that gold mine and I want to extract everything that I can out of it. Amen. I want to build, amen, his vision. Amen. I want him to see his dreams fulfilled. Amen. I'm ready to see God show off. I'm ready to see God flex a little bit. I'm ready to see God do some wonderful, powerful, and mighty things. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't have any notes. I don't know where to go. Oh, here's one for you. Does the world want what we've got?
Yes.
Simon the sorcerer, he looked at Peter and he looked at them and he said, I want what you've got. Give it to me. Here, I'll pay you for it. I'll give you, how much money do you want? I'll give you. They said, your money perishes with you. I want what you've got. Does this world want what we've got? Or if they go to a charismatic church, will that suffice? Ooh, Jesus. You know one thing that I've noticed? There's a lot of barbecue places here around this area. But I'm going to find my favorite one. And if I don't find my favorite one, I'm going to cook it myself. There's a lot of places that serve ribs. I've been to several of them. I went over there to, what's that place called? No, I went to Hog Wild. I went to Hog Wild and ate some ribs and some brisket. I just say, I think mine's better. And so I went over to, what's that other place called? Over there on Andover Road. Yeah, Billy Sims. I went over to Billy Sims and ate their ribs. And I thought, yeah, it's okay. I went down Andover Road and went over to another place Brother Worst took me to. I said, you know what, this is pretty good. This is pretty good. I still think mine's better. Now, I'm just being goofy tonight, okay? And so I'm there. But you know what? If I want ribs, I can go to any of them. I go to Pig In, Pig Out, Hog Wild, Billy Sims, Two Brothers. I go to any of them. But when I find the one that I really like, I can tell you a bunch of others that's going to be missing my business. Because I finally found what I consider the best. Or this is worth it. What I'm simply saying is there's charismatic churches down there. If they want a big crowd, there's churches that run 5,000. If they want somebody that just, amen, has praise dancers and stuff like that, well, they can go somewhere, you know, they can go find that just about anywhere. If they even want people that speak in tongues and roll on the floor and do all that, they probably go to a lot of other places too. So we've got to have something that's more than that. We can't have a profession of faith. We can't call this old time Pentecost if we're not willing to be old time Pentecost.
Long time Pentecostal, you know what they did? They shouted their hair out. Bobby pins going everywhere. Men rolling in the floor. Amen. All kinds of things going crazy. And people walked in and said, this place is crazy. But when an altar call was given here, they came down to the altar because they said, I've never tasted anything like what I'm tasting right now. I've never seen anything like I'm seeing right now. I want what you've got. Does the world really want what we've got? Do we have enough for the world to say, yes, this is what I want?
They can find a dead doll, whatever church on any corner. But they're going to be looking for a lively church. They don't know that yet, but they are. They're looking for a lively church. And then when they come into that lively church, the first thing that they're going to say is, well, this place is crazy. Nah, but it got their attention. And then that preacher started preaching. They said, he's crazy. But it got their attention. And here they come down to an altar weeping and crying. Because when they get in his presence, it's undeniable. But that's up to you and me. It's our church. This is going to be exactly what you make it. And if you make this a boring church, it'll be a boring church. It's probably not going to be boring to me. It's my church. Is it your church? Yeah. Praise God. All right, let's stand. I'm done. That or I'm going to pass out or something. I'm just telling you right now, if you're cold-natured, you probably need to bring a coat to church. Because I get hot. The other day I got so hot and we was over there praying. I think it was with Ananias praying. I almost passed out. I was so hot. So if you're cold-natured, just bring yourself a little coat. Or you could be like them, Brother Godair in our old church. He brought himself a parka almost. Glory, hallelujah. But Peter said in his epistle in the last part of that, he said, and the church that is in Babylon salutes you. In Babylon. In the most God-awfulest place in the world. A place where they had over 500 pagan gods embroidered into their gate. All except for Jehovah. Everything that you could think of was right there in Babylon. It was a disgraceful place. But there was a church. An apostolic church. A Pentecostal church. A one God church. Amen. And it was a thriving church. Amen. Because when they heard that Peter was writing, they said, hey, go ahead and tell them that we greet them in Jesus' name. There were some people that was excited, amen, about their church. And they wanted somebody to know, hey, we're still here. We're not just surviving, we're thriving. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just made that one up. Amen. We're not just surviving. We're thriving. I'll tell you what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Lord was glorified. The people were edified. And the devil was terrified. Amen. That's what needs to happen around here. We're going to glorify God. And we're going to be edified. And the devil is going to be terrified. We got to be apostolic from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. From the inside and out. Amen. If you're going to be apostolic, show me. Don't tell me about it. Get involved. Make this church what you want it to be. Make this church a powerful church. Make this church a glorious church. Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!